Well, folks, good morning again. As we turn to the Lord's Word now, I want to ask you to pray for me. I pray that the Lord will guide and direct every word that's spoken. And I pray that He will guide and direct your hearts as well, so that we can apply it to ourselves. I know I probably say this more often than I realize, but I believe that every time we come to church, we need to think about the Lord's Word on an individual basis, because it applies to us as individuals. And what may be applied to me, it might be universal to all of us, but there are certain aspects that only probably apply to you. You know, I know other preachers have made this comment too. When you feel like the Lord has given you a message, maybe it's just for one person in the congregation. I mean, it feeds all of us, but perhaps there's one person that it speaks to. I don't know if that's the case this morning, but I pray that God's Word will touch your heart in any way that is needed. And you need to ask for that blessing when you come to His house each and every day. Folks, I want to continue on, and I guess I have been titling this, Bringing God's Word with You. And that needs to happen no matter where we are in our life. Now, that's oftentimes easier said than done. But at the same time, we need to recognize it's a decision that we make. It is inside our hearts if we make that decision. So it's a decision that you can do regardless of who's surrounded around you. But if it's truly strong and evident in you, other people will see it. And they will glorify God for it. Bringing God's word with you everywhere you go speaks to your relationship that you have, and how you prioritize that relationship with God compared to other things in your life. And it should be the most preeminent, strongest, most important thing in your life. Each day that we have, when God gives us breath, we need to rise and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. He should be foremost in our hearts and on our minds, regardless of what we face. You know, sometimes we get up and we know we've got a hard day in front of us. There may be lots of troubles. I think about the people that were mentioned today, the struggles that they're facing in caring for loved ones, or whatever the situation may be. But you know, the Word tells us, and I'm generalizing here, that the Lord never gives us more than what we're able to bear. And sometimes we need to stop and understand and think, well, you know, maybe I can handle these problems in this situation better than somebody else. And thank God that that responsibility is not put on someone else who is not as able-bodied as you are. You think about sometimes the things you have to shoulder and bear. What if suddenly they were shifted to your children? No, be grateful that you can rise to the task. You see, God empowers us. God strengthens us. When we walk with Him daily, we're not immune to hardships and sadness in this world. But God is with us every step of the way. When we focus on Him. And folks, to do that, His Word needs to be hidden in our heart, as the psalmist has said. And when we do that, there is a peace that we can enjoy that is beyond us, that comes from that relationship with the Lord. And His Word should give us peace. And I pray that we can see that. And I want to kind of walk through this in a progression to make it hopefully somewhat logical, starting at point A and at whatever the ending point is. Some of this we covered last week. It's our relationship. We all have a relationship with Jesus Christ because we are all believers here. And that's important, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But if we have a relationship with the Lord, we need to know what He's telling us. And we know that through His Word. You know, we have access to God's Word now. It's more abundantly available to us and throughout ever history. Not only do we have the printed Word, you think back 1,000 years ago, a lot of people, of course, couldn't read, but the Catholic Church hid the Word. They didn't want people to have Bibles. We progress beyond that. Now almost everybody has the written Word, the Bible, that they can go to if they want it. Beyond that, now it's being preached on TV, across radio. through all social media platforms we have in our phones, on our computers. We can go to God's Word if we choose to. You see, it's a decision. And what we choose to put in our hearts and in our minds has a big effect on the way we live our lives. You know, there's a lot of bad things out there, and if we surround ourselves with it constantly, we're not going to be focused on God's Word. So we must bring God's Word with us on a daily basis. And 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And folks, to summarize that, God's Word prepares us. It prepares us for each day that He gives us. So each day can sometimes be unique. We need to have God's Word to guide us and strengthen us on a daily basis. It's here if we choose to turn to it. As God's children, we need to turn to it because we find instructions there and because we are God's children. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life that's come down from heaven. We pray for our daily bread, don't we? Well, folks, we need daily food, but we need spiritual food on a daily basis too. And that only comes from God's Word. As God's children, we have His Word and it instructs us. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5. I did have this included in last Sunday's message. For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. You see, folks, that's a decision right there. Have nothing to do with the works of darkness. We are being instructed to walk as children of light and have nothing to do with the darkness. That's a choice that we have to make. You see, what we surround ourselves with, what we put into our brain, God's Word, are you doing it daily? Are you bringing it with you everywhere you go? I pray that you are, because that is the only way, folks, that we can walk as children of light. See, there's two instructions here. Walk as children of light and expose the darkness. Because we are God's children. And that's one of our functions as God's children, is to be obedient to Him. Walk as children of light. But you know, when you get down to the very, very basics, there's so much noise out there in the world. There's so many contrary philosophies and opinions and outright evil theology that's being promoted and spoken. So we have to get back down to the basics. To walk as children of light means that we have to recognize that Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. When we read that, of course, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want to break this down for just a moment. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. So folks, I want to stop right there for just a moment. The darkness is the world. We are not supposed, folks, to have anything to do with the darkness. We are to expose the darkness and the evil that's in it. That's what we were just told in Ephesians. Jesus came and the light shined and the darkness comprehended it not, because the world is the darkness and the world lives in darkness. And we are told not to love the world in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. You see, we just read that his own received him not. When you read this description, folks, that's the way the religious leaders at the time were. They were filled with pride. They were filled with the lust of the eyes. They wanted to be seen higher and better and nobler and more pious than this ordinary Jewish person living at the time. His own did not receive him, the religious leaders. But some did. And we find encouragement from these next verses and as we go back to that scripture in the Gospel of John. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And folks, that's a critical thing, and we take it for granted. We think, well, yeah, we understand what this means. But do we? As many as received him. Folks, how does anybody receive him? Jesus tells us that no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. So I want you to start thinking about this on an individual basis. If you have professed Jesus Christ, God drew you. You didn't do it on your own. Nobody could come to Jesus Christ unless God draws him. How many received him were God's children that God drew them to Jesus Christ? The same is true today. God draws us to Jesus. And conversely, you think about the relationship, the Father and the Son, how it's intertwined. Because Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no alternative, folks, and the world will tell you there is, but there is not. Jesus is the doorway to the Father, and there is no other way. You can't live a pious enough life, a righteous enough life, like the Pharisees thought, to earn your way into heaven. It only comes through God's grace, and God draws His children to Jesus Christ because He loves us. As many as received Him, because God loves His children. Think about who you are. Think about who you were. Think about God's amazing grace. Each day we get up, folks, it's a gift from the Lord above. Think about His grace in your life. Because this applies to all of us. Ephesians chapter 2. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, amongst whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. You see, it applies to each and every one of us. Because that's who we were. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By God's initiative, by His great love, by His amazing grace. By God's grace, folks, we are His children. He has redeemed you. He has ransomed you. And He has told us to walk as children of light. You see, if God's Word is in your heart, we have to walk a certain way. We have to follow the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus told us we are the light of the world. That's only going to happen if His Word is deep within your heart and you meditate on it each and every day. Walk as children of light is what we were commanded. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, folks, we have everything we need to follow Jesus if we keep His Word, if we know His Word, if we cherish His Word, and we bring it with us wherever we go. If we do that, we have God's Word as a lamp unto my path. We may have a hard, dark day in front of us, but we've got God's Word to show me the way. It may be one step at the time, but God's Word will illuminate our path when we turn to Him. And folks, we have to have faith to do this, don't we? You see, to have anything in our life, in our relationship with God, we have to have faith. Think about the faith that you have. It's a gift from the Lord. Do you exercise it? Do you strengthen it? When we know His Word, folks, that's kind of like a mental exercise, a mental workout. And it is tested. You want it stronger, it gets tested in our daily life. We all rely on our faith. And I'm speaking now to the obvious things. We don't have faith in ourselves. You see, that was the problem. That was one of the reasons that the Pharisees and the religious leaders at the time didn't accept Jesus when He came. No, they thought they could do it all themselves. They knew the Scriptures. And they knew that wasn't true. But you see, pride is a powerful motivator for some people. And they can't humble themselves before the Lord, as we are instructed to do. Galatians makes this very clear. We can't have faith in ourselves because no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And he's saying here, justified by the law, that's by works. No man can keep the law. So we're not justified by it if we break it. Nobody is justified that. Abraham had faith when God appeared to him. He believed God. And he did what God told him to do. He left the land where he was living to go to the promised land that God was going to show him through faith. John tells us, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world. Our faith." You see, folks, this sometimes is hidden from us. The devil doesn't want you to know it. But you have faith. It identifies you as God's child. He placed it in your heart. It is our victory over this world to have faith in God above, because He revealed that to you. And folks, He does it for a purpose, so that we can do the good works He created us to do, to walk down the pathway that Jesus treads and where He tells us to walk. Walk as children of light. We have the faith. We have the victory over the world to do it. But we've got to carry God's Word with us to be able to accomplish that. But our victory over the world comes from what? Not faith in ourselves. It is faith in God. And when you have faith in God, and you're reading His Word, and you hit those days that are dark and difficult, and you struggle, we're supposed to go to Him in prayer. But folks, there's a key to that too. And Hebrews tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Diligently means not just in the moment, but who seeks Him continuously, who brings His Word with Him. And you have to believe that God hears your prayers. You know, two sermons ago, or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about how every idle word will be brought to bear and to account. Well, if every idle word is recorded and heard, every prayer is heard too. And you have to believe that God hears your prayers. Now, folks, we don't have discernment like the Lord does. We need to be praying, "Your will be done." Sometimes we don't. But God also tells us to bring our needs before Him. And we need to be strong enough and have enough faith to know that He cares for us. He's given us faith. And to know that He will hear our prayers, give our request to Him under the guise that, "Dear Lord, if this is good for me or good for so-and-so, let Your will be done." You see, we need to humble ourselves before God and pray to Him, knowing that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You know, a lot of people in a stressful time will say, "God, please help me." And that's the only prayer that comes off of their lips maybe in 5 years. That's not diligently seeking the Lord. We need to carry His Word with us. He needs to be our constant companion through it, every moment of our life. Because, folks, we have to have our faith strengthened. It comes through His Word. And if faith is not in ourselves, our faith is founded on Jesus Christ. That's who we have faith in. John chapter 16 tells us, These things I have spoken to you, and this is Jesus talking to the disciples. I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Well, folks, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, that's how it validates and makes us understand that our faith is our victory over the world. Because it's not in us, it's not in man, it's not in any government, it's in Jesus Christ, the one who created all things. That's where our faith is. And when our faith is founded in Jesus Christ, it should give us peace in our hearts. Because we know that He is in control of all things. We may have some difficult circumstances. Every pathway is not an easy one to find our way through. But we know that Jesus is always with us. We have to humble ourselves. We have to take His word with us. Because it enables us to overcome this world, because it strengthens our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul, in this following statement, he kind of condenses this. It is the epitome of the believer. At least it should be something that we hope to achieve. It's a high level. But he tells us in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, folks, we can never forget that God loves us and He gave Himself for us. How constant it is that the devil doesn't want us to remember that. He wants us to remember how unworthy we are, how often we fail, how we want to try to do better based on our merits, not on the Son of God. Because, folks, we are weak. We are only strong through Jesus Christ. It is He who loves us and made the sacrifice because we're not able. We aren't ever going to be able on our own. We are only strong enough through faith in Jesus Christ. And He gives us the ability to become one with Him, to have a relationship with Him through faith, because He loves us. And we find that in His Word. If you bring His Word with you everywhere you go, you're going to see God's amazing grace, His mercy, and His love for His people. It is inescapable. It is woven through every page in the Bible. God loves His children. And God has overcome the world. And because He's overcome the world, we have faith in His promises, and that promise is that He loves us. And Jesus affirms this. And notice a promise that we find in this passage. I've shared it many times before. I hope it by now. It is a marker verse that you've either memorized or turned to live daily, to read almost daily. John chapter 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I don't see any qualifier there about your worthiness, because we're all unworthy. We read that in Ephesians, about how we all have walked just as sinfully as everybody else has. But God draws us. You see, God moves. He strengthens us and gives us faith. And through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. And even when we have had terrible hardships in our life, and we question our faith, and we doubt God. And folks, those we are willfully ignorant if we say, oh, that never happens, because it does. But God is merciful. And those who turn to Him, He will abundantly pardon, God's Word tells us. And all that come to Him, He will in no means cast out. Because God knows our weaknesses. God knows all about us. Before we were ever born, He knew us. And He loves us, folks. He drew you because He knew you. He died for you because He loved you. He has given you faith because you are His child, and we are to walk as children of light, keeping His commandments. To keep His commandments, we have to know what's in His Word. And folks, when we turn to His Word, we find reassurance because we believe the promises that He gives us. We were just saying, standing on the promises of God. Well, we have to have faith in the promises. How are you going to know what God's promises are if we're not taking His Word with us? When we encounter those times when we doubt, we need to just stand firm on the ground that we are, knowing the promises that God is with us daily. Think of the promise that we find in this next one. Because, folks, we all have this ahead of us. John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, we know that he was talking to Mary's sister Martha at the time about the resurrection of Lazarus. But, folks, do you believe this? See, our faith needs to be strong. Though we may die, we shall live. Do you believe it? Isn't that the hope and the promise that our hope is founded on? Because of Jesus Christ, He gives us eternal life. It's a promise. We may not understand it. You don't have to understand it to believe it, folks. You just have to have faith in it because it's God's Word. Jesus said it. John, He told us again in chapter 14. And what a wonderful promise. And folks, it is a promise. Understand it and know it. And keep it in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. If God's Word is in your heart, folks, it's not troubled nowhere near to the point that it is when you don't know it. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, folks, we will not perish because Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. And if God knew you before the foundation of the world, and He drew you to Jesus, and you profess Jesus, you have the gift of faith in Jesus, that's because God gave it to you. You are His child. And He loves you. And if He loves you and He's given you this life and told us to walk as children of light, at some point this mortal body is going to wear out. And it may die and go to the grave, but folks, He is preparing a place for us. And that's where we will be. That's what our hope is. That's what the promise is. So are we standing on God's promises? It gives us peace in our hearts when we do. You see, we need to have faith in His promises. And when we have faith in His promises, it means trusting God. You can't trust God unless you have faith. And you trust that the promises He gave us are real. We have to trust God completely to do that. Trusting Him should give us peace and contentment in our hearts on a daily basis. You see, we have to know His Word. We have to think about His Word. Daily. It needs to go with us wherever we go. Now, this happened to be part of our responsive reading this morning. Let these words sink into you because it's important. Isaiah says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, there's a lot in that statement, and before we go to the next slide, I just want you to on an intellectual basis, how can you trust somebody you don't know? It's hard to do, isn't it? How do you know people? It comes through a relationship. There's words exchanged in that relationship. We know God because He revealed Himself to us. We get to know God more and more through His Word. And when we know His Word, we know He loves us and He sustains us and He promises that He will never leave us. We love Him because He first loved us. And that relationship is built. Now think about this. Let's read the words again. You will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts you. Notice the person whose mind is stayed on God. This means God is a constant in their life throughout the day. That person trusts the Lord because you know Him. And you will know Him when you bring His Word with you on a daily basis. And when you know Him, folks, you will have that peace in your heart that the Word is telling us. Psalm 56 gives us some great instructions. I hope that we will all be at some point in our life be at this level. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, am not afraid, what can mere mortals do to me? What a wonderful, sweet definition of the relationship that we should have with our Father above. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. All things are in God's hands. In God whose word I praise, if you have His word with you, folks, you will be praising it because it reveals the love of the Father to you. In God I trust and not afraid because God is with me and God loves me. And I know that no matter what happens to me, that there is a home being prepared for me beyond this mortal life. What can mere mortals do to me? Not much, folks, in the scheme of things. Not much. Psalm 119. Shouldn't this be the way, folks, that we live too? I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can cause them to stumble. If we love God's word, we will have a peace, folks, that passes all understanding. So as we conclude, I want to ask you just some couple questions. Because maybe you're not having that peace. I don't know. I pray that you are. If you're not, then maybe you need to go to the Lord in prayer and start asking some questions. You know, sometimes we have a little bit of trouble, and it's not in the PowerPoint, but it's something I want you to recognize. Sometimes we have a little bit of trouble about thy will be done. You see, we want our will to be done. And sometimes our prayers are structured around my will and not God's will. Sometimes that's the crux of our problems. Sometimes we don't have peace in our heart. We have anxiety because we're not listening to what God's word tells us. So let me ask you the following. Is His word preeminent in your life? Is it there on a daily basis? Do we, and I include myself in this, do you rejoice in His word? In coming to church to hear it, to share it? Do we love, believe, and do our best to keep God's commandments? Do you feel like the Lord is your constant companion? Because answering yes to all these, I believe, is just a reworded summary of what we just read in the Psalms. We have the ability to live like that, folks. And I'll tell you that if this is even partially true, you have enough faith if you exercise that faith and if you bring His word with you to remember His promises, and remember God's word and His promises cannot fail. You have the strength and the confidence to face any circumstances in your life because the Lord is with you and He loves you. And that knowledge should be inescapable from you. You see, that kind of faith and that kind of trust enables you to do what we find in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, when we're rooted and founded in Jesus and He's in our hearts and His word is in our heart and in our soul, we have that peace. And we have the understanding and the trust which comes through faith to know that we are always in His care. And as we read again in our responsive reading, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, God came in the form of the Son, Jesus Christ. He came to this world and He paid the price for our sins. And there is nothing that can separate us from His love, which is you, His children. God loves you. Have that peace rooted in your heart by never doubting that. And Jesus reaffirmed it in John chapter 10. You see, you're a sheep, and we've been over this many times. You're a sheep because He gave you the faith to be one. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, because you are His child, and there is no greater Father than our Lord above. Folks, draw comfort knowing that you are in the hands of the Lord, and nothing can separate us. So it doesn't matter what trials or tribulations that we may face, you are instructed to walk as a child of light, so that when we are weak, we can see that faith shining from our brothers and sisters and let it encourage us. You see, it's not always just about me or you. It's about loving others equally and more than what we love ourselves. When we share our faith, folks, that's one of the greatest expressions of love that we can give. And who do we have faith in? It's Jesus Christ. Because He's the one who paid it all. Through Him we can do all things. We can walk in this world and be a light in this world that exposes the evil in the darkness. And folks, that's what we are commanded to do. To do that, we have to bring His Word with us. When we bring His Word with us, we have faith in Him, not in ourselves. We will remember His promises, and through Him we can do anything that we may face. May the Lord add His blessings is my prayer. Remark.